We have been in a series for the last 3 weeks called Unshakable. It's amazing to me how many people over the course of their life that have been serving Christ for 10, 20, 30, even 40 years fall apart at the first thing that happens in their life that causes it to shake, that causes it to tremble like we just talked about or sang about. And the reason why they fall apart every time there's a mountain or there's a molehill or there's a slight obstacle is because their life was never built on solid ground. And we need to understand that a lot of our lives, some of our lives, especially those in the church, and I'm talking about those that are in church today, that have gone to church all of their lives, have built their lives on sand. And sand, as you know, shifts. It changes. It's always different, and you cannot build on it. The only way you can build on it is to drill down to bedrock, something solid, so that you can build your life upon it. And that solid rock is the Word of God. It is Christ Himself. Amen? It's not a denomination. It's not a church. It's not a pastor. It's not a Bible study. It's not scriptures that you memorize that's going to get you through those shakable moments in your life. It's by building your life on the personhood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we've talked about the Word of God and how we should go to the Word of God, and that it is the source of our strength, it is the source of our life, and it is the source of our direction. And today we're going to be talking about a big, long word that's 14 letters in it called, you see it, sanctification. I think it's got 14. Yes, 14. All right? And it's this big, long word that is basically summed up in the process. Each and every one of us are in the process. Tell your neighbor, look at him, say, you're in the process. You're not exempt from the process. You may step out of it, but you're still in the process. We can't avoid it. We can't run from it. There's no hole deep enough that we can dig. There's no mountain tall enough that we can escape it. We are all in the process. Even when you say no, even when you trip yourself up, even when you fail and fall on your face, you're still in the
process.
You're still in the process. And so, if you want to live an unshakable life in your faith, then you have to commit to the process. Yesterday was Christian's graduation party from high school, and super proud of him. There's grad parties going all over the place. And as we were coming to a close of the party yesterday and we were cleaning up, I just thought to myself, wow, my son has just finished the process of high school. And he's like, woo, yes. And the big question for him yesterday is, what's next, right? And so he might as well have his answer on his shirt. But he had to go through a process. And that graduation party leading up to yesterday was a close of that process. Ask him if he loved the process, and he will say, but nonetheless, he was required to be part of the process. Love it or hate it, it's a part of growing up. It's a rite of passage. It's a completion stepping into another process. We are never out of the process. There's a door that closes in one process, and we step through the threshold of another process. Just when we think one season is closing, another is opening up, because we're always part of the process. And so sanctification is the process after repentance. But a lot of people stop after repentance. They thank God that they came to Christ. They thank God that they're going to heaven. They thank God that He is the Lord and Savior of their life, but they stop right there. And every time that there's an obstacle in their way, every time that there is an unsure season in their life, they fall apart because they have opted out of the process called sanctification. Setting yourself aside to become like Christ. It is a progression. And I want just like my son, my youngest son, he's in the process as well. We're all in the process of becoming something, going somewhere. And as a believer, we never stop at salvation. Can I get an amen this morning? There is much more than just salvation. He not only died for your sins, but he also died to cause you to become an overcomer, to be a steady man and woman of God, not exempt from flaws, but steady in all of your ways. The Bible says that he has given everything we need for life and godliness through our understanding of who he is. So he has given us all the tools we need for life and godliness upon our understanding of who he is. And the only way we understand who he is to stay in the process. Amen? And so this morning, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 10, we'll read this thing together. And so here's kind of a blueprint of sanctification, okay? So Colossians 3, 1 through 10, it says this: Since then, you have been raised with Christ. In other words, now that you've been born again, now that you are now in the process, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So first we see you have to engage your heart, all right? So it says, set your heart. That means that in order to set our heart, we've got to weed out things that have got our affection, that have got our attention, that are not good, that are unhealthy, and we have to set our heart on him, on things above. And then it goes deeper into the next verse and it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So there's two things engaged here. Number one, your heart. That is where your affections are. That's where your emotion is, right? And then we set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. In other words, we are engaging our intellect. It's amazing to me that people think that if you accept Christ, that you go to church, that you're born again, that you check your brains at the door. But the truth is that we need our mind, we need our intellect more than ever so that we can study God's Word, so that we can understand His Word, not just read it, but understand it. So there's two things in play, your heart and your mind. And it goes on to say, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when the scripture's talking about dying, it means you have denied yourself, you have put your old self to death with all of its cravings and its desires and its misplaced emotion, and you have died and you are now alive in Christ. And so there is a dying of yourself. And it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death. Everybody say, put to death. Put to death. And this is key, all right? This is key. This is engaging your will at this point. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And I love it that it doesn't stop right there. Because I can guess, all right? I can make up stuff. But the scripture is very thorough in the next piece of this verse. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. So scripture tells us what we are to put to death. It names it explicitly. And then it says, the ramifications of not putting those things to death is that the wrath of God is coming. So you see, to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as, and again, a lot of us can look at this thing and go, okay, that's been put to death a long time ago. The lust, the sexual impurity, the evil desires, all this stuff. Thank God that does not apply to me. Well, it goes deeper here. Say, thank God for Colossians. Let's say that one more time. Thank God for Colossians. But it also goes on to say, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. And all of a sudden, boom, it's all up in my business. Right? We all have misplaced anger. We all have junk that we suppress. We all have stuff in our life that we put aside for a rainy day so that we can organize it later. We all have that. We are all a hot mess, all right? But we are all in the, say it with me, process. We are all in the process. So this is what Colossians 3:1 is describing when he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. This applies as a death, all right? That we are putting to death our old life and we're being resurrected into this new life, all right? And so the first part of sanctification is found in the first four verses of Colossians when it talks about setting your mind on things that are above where Christ is seated. So that does, so what does that look like? So turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When I first came to Christ, I thought, you know what? This isn't so bad, right? I'm obeying the rules, right? I'm going to church. I'm giving in the offering. As a teenager, I'm giving a little bit, right? I'm worshiping. I'm sitting on the front row. And I'm going to a youth group on Wednesday nights. I got this thing figured out. But I'm also living a life that I formerly lived before I received Christ. I was in the process. I had stopped at salvation. And I was at a roadblock that I created because I didn't want to go any further because it required something of me. I know I'm not preaching to anybody here this morning. But this is where Romans 12:2 comes into play. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why does Scripture tell us that we have to be, that we no longer can be conformed to this world? And the reason being is because the Bible says that we are the light of the world. Not Jesus. We, as believers, are the light of the world. And that light did not originate from us, but originated from Jesus himself. And so we are carriers of that light. And because of that, our light flickers different than the world. It focuses differently than the world. And so I was trying to operate the way I used to operate, only I added Jesus to my life. In other words, I added something good to the mess I was in. And so just adding a little Jesus doesn't do it. It's dying to yourself, committing to the process, and being transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? When I first graduated from college, I worked at a tub factory. You guys, anybody worked at a tub factory before? It's a little slice of heaven, let me tell you. My job was to stand in this long tunnel for 8 hours a day all by myself with an air hose with a hard plastic wedge on the end of it with and a little trigger, and every time a mold came through, I would stick that wedge between the mold and the tub and blow a little puff of air to separate it. That's it. Now, you're talking about high-profile living. Now, I'm a pastor, okay? I'm very, very extroverted. I will die if I don't get to talk to people. And that was the absolute worst job in the entire world for me. But that was me. And the cool thing is that at the end of the week, I wasn't late, right? I'd get $20 onto my check. And one day I was late. And I clocked in 2 minutes late. And Dana got all upset and all over me. We're going to lose $20. I can't believe it. Now, when you're first married and living in a one-bedroom apartment and you're banking on $20 as a bonus, you're hurting, right? You're hurting. And so the point of that story is this. Working at the tub factory, there is one place where they did these whirlpool things. And they brought this thin layer of plastic over a mold that was preset. And that plastic was placed over that mold, and there was a suction that occurred. There was a heating process and a suction that occurred, and that thin, flat layer of plastic will begin to mold down to that mold of that hot tub. And it was a pretty cool process to watch, but that piece of plastic was always going to be molded to that same thing. It had no choice. It was predictable. It was the same every single time. It was set. And as believers, we are no longer to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can figure out what is right and what is wrong. And so you don't just engage your heart, you don't just engage your spirit and your will, but your mind is engaged the entire time because you have to make decisions about whether or not you're going to continue to be a part of the process. So these two pieces of scripture keep us from ignorance, from the process, from your process, because we know what to flee from. We no longer need to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of us need our minds renewed. We need our minds transformed because for so long, we have been, it depends if you were raised in an abusive home or a home that where your mom and dad would tell you, or whoever you were raised by, or your peers, that you can't do that because you came from this family. You can't do that because of this limitation. You can't do this because you were diagnosed with, you can't do this because you're physical. You can't do this because you've never done that before. You're too afraid to do that. You've never done it that way before. Why are you doing it this way? Does this sound familiar this morning? It did for me. When I first came to Christ, it was a whirlwind thing. In Dallas, Texas, I repented, came before the Lord. Hadn't really gone to church much in my whole life. Came to Christ. And in that same week, God called me to be a pastor. That was a freak out week, I can tell you that. And come home and my mother's like, "Hey, how did the camp go? Did you enjoy Dallas? Did you get to see the sky rises and downtown Dallas and all that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's all cool, but I need you to sit down for a minute. Because I've got a course correction in my life. And I thought she would be happy that, because that's a good thing." But she was not happy. She felt like I was being coerced. She felt like that I was being manipulated. She felt like that I was part of a cult, right? And so I wasn't expecting that. But we need to understand that in order to follow Christ the way we need to, we not only need to renew our heart and our spirit, but we also need to renew our mind. Because the Word of God tells you who you are. And if you haven't taken the time to read it and study it and apply it to your life, you will always believe the pattern of this world. And the reason being, it's not because you think it's healthy, it's just familiar. I'm preaching good this morning. It's because it's familiar. We will drink a little poison because we know it's familiar. We know, at least we know what's going to happen. But we're afraid to dip into something by faith because we're not sure what that ground's going to look like. We're not sure how God's going to lead us. We're not sure what He's going to require of us if we step out in faith. And because of it, we opt out. We set up our own roadblocks. We put perimeters around our life. We put limitations on our abilities. And we blame it on our mom, right? We blame it on our parents. But the real of it is that we find our limitations by our own decisions that we make. And we opt out of the process of sanctification, becoming like Christ on a daily basis. Now, to be clear, renewing your mind cannot simply mean memorizing Scripture either. And I know that sounds bad. But Jesus, He got on to people. He rebuked people all the time that knew the law, the Scriptures, backwards and forwards. Because they had memorized it, but they never applied it to their lives. They weaponized it to control the crowds. They memorized it to manipulate it to get their way. And so Jesus is not impressed with the amount of Scriptures that you have memorized. He is impressed when you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Amen? Jesus is not impressed by your works. He's not impressed by your attendance. He's not impressed by how much money you give or how many cars you wash on a Saturday outreach. What He is impressed with is that you are dying to yourself, you are committed to Him, and you're in the process. Amen. Setting your mind on things that are above where Christ is seated. So renewing your mind is not just simply doing all of those things. For example, when we first moved here 7 years ago, every time I went to to write down my address, boys, can you remember our address in Tennessee? 125 Phillips Drive. It rhymes, right? 125 Phillips Drive. And so every time I went to write down my address, I would write 125. And then I'd have to redo it and put our new address down. And so there's a reworking of your mind. It's just muscle memory, right? And so when we moved here to Green Bay, it changed everything. I had to find a new person to cut my hair, right? I had to find somebody, a new mechanic. I had to build new relationships with a church. I had no clue who they were. I had to put my boys in new schools. We had to find a new home. Dana had to find a new job. I had to find a place to golf. Can you imagine how stressful that was? And so it is a part of the process. So I craved and got homesick a few times, I'm not going to lie. Because it was familiar. The old part of my life was familiar. It was like a warm blanket that I wanted to go back to. But God called us here to Green Bay, and that calling changed everything. It changed the trajectory of my life. It changed the trajectory of my boys' lives. Christian kept saying, and Joshua said it a few times, but Christian was very animate about it. When I'm 18, I'm moving back to Savannah. Well, he's 18 now. Are you moving back to Savannah? No, he's not moving back to Savannah. Why? Because he committed himself to the process, and I wouldn't let him move back. So, but moving here changed everything. This is why the Bible is so important for the child of God, because it reminds us where our new address is and how to get there. It helps to define what the truth is and what isn't the truth. And believe me, we need that. And if you're avid news watchers, then you could think every day that the sky is falling. And you can hate humanity. You can hate America. You can hate our president. You can hate the Republican and Democratic Party because the sky is falling. Nobody agrees on anything. Our country's about to burn. News media doesn't get their viewership on good news, right? It's built off of drama. So we need to understand that truth is harder to come by. It's hard to come by. Life in this moment, in this history of time, is complicated. Raising kids is different now. When I was growing up, completely different. And so we have to cling to the Word of God. We have to hold on to it with all of our heart and be committed to the process so that we can know truth from a lie. And the second part of Colossians 3 talks about putting away and putting to death sexual impurities, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Also getting rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. I remember my pastor when I first came to Christ. His name is Kim Robinette. He pastors a cowboy church. I love watching him online. He's got this big old belt buckle, big old Stetson hat, right? Got the Wrangler jeans. He is fully committed to a cowboy church. And I love country music. And so still do. I don't listen to all of it. It's just ridiculous. But there are some. You have to weed through it, right? And so he said this. He said, I want to challenge my entire church on what they're listening to. Because what you listen to matters. And I'm like, I know what he's about to say, and I'm not doing that. And he goes, I encourage you that. He said, here's my challenge for you. When you get into your cars, don't change the channel. Listen to whatever it is you're listening to. And if they don't have sexual references in it, drinking, one-night stands, and he went down the list, before you leave the parking lot, I give you my full blessing to listen to that music. I was like, I listen to country music. That's as American as apple pie. Got in the car, turned it on, didn't even get it in reverse, and there was drinking, one-night stands, going to the honky-tonk, and so on. I'm like, for the love of God, really? You know? I'm like, what else is there? You know? And so I made a decision that day that I was going to commit to not listening to secular music for a period of time so that I could put stuff in my spirit that it would allow me to draw myself to the Lord and the Lord to me. That was a decision I made. And that decision has brought me before you here today. And it's that decision compounded upon another decision that gave me faith to go to make another decision that gave me enough faith to die to myself in this area that I never thought I would be able to die to ever. And it's one decision upon, it's not one grand decision and there you are. It is a process and you are never out of the process because when one thing ends, another begins. Amen? I wish sometimes there was a respite in between, like, whew, thank God, I'm enjoying this process right now, the end of it, yay! But that's not how life works. We're constantly stepping, constantly moving, because the world is pulling you in, and we need to be connected to the Father more than ever, amen? More than ever. We have to renew our minds and setting our hope on Christ. We are also putting to death what is sinful in us. And listen, I'm not talking about taming the lion here in our lives. I'm talking about cutting its head off and putting it to death. I'm talking about turning your back and making a complete turnaround so that you are no longer looking at that part of your life anymore, that you understand that your new address is heavenly, and it's not to the left, it's to the right, and it's not about muscle memory, it's about moving in the Spirit of God, making decisions that cause us to draw near to the Father and Him to us. It's not about taming the lion. It's not about putting it in a cage. It's not about making it manageable. It's not about dressing it up so that we can explain it away. It's about cutting it off. But see, that is the heart and that is the crux of sanctification. It's a willingness to cut it off, to sever it, to never return to it. That we live at a different address. We now live at 252 St. Matthew Street in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't live at 125 Phillips Drive any longer. I have a new address and my trajectory is different. And because of that, my life has changed. Amen? So many of us try to tame the lions in our life rather than cutting it off. Are there weights that trip you up? Are there weights that you are willingly carrying? I did this crazy thing called the Murph about a month ago. And you do 300 squats, you run 2 miles, you do 100 push-ups, you do 150 pull-ups. It was ridiculous. And I was doing it with a group of people, not just by myself. I was doing it with 3 other guys, and so we were splitting it up. I'm not dumb. But there were other guys there that had been doing this thing for 4 or 5 years that were putting on these 20-pound weights on their shoulders. Well, it was a vest. But it was 20 pounds, and they were doing it by themselves. Now, they were in a different place than I was. But if I put that weight up on myself, I wouldn't have made it the first mile. And so some of us, we put weights on ourselves because it is familiar. We go back to it every time we're afraid. We go back to it every time things start to get shaky because that's what we know. We don't know the Heavenly Father like we ought to because we put roadblocks in front of ourselves because we're afraid. Because it requires us to die a little more. It causes us to step out in faith, a place that we've never been before. And because of that, we recoil. And we go back to what is familiar. You pick your poison. You know what trips you up. You know where your shortcomings are. You know what your triggers are. What are they? And whatever they are, define it and put it to death. Don't try to explain it away. Don't try to tame it. Don't try to keep it around and make it part of your life and domesticate this thing. Cut it off. Put it to death. If drinking trips you up, if you know you've had a problem with it in your past, cut it off. Don't give an excuse why I like to go out to the bars because I have friends there, because it's familiar there. I'm just going to hang out. I'm not going to have anything to drink. You're lying to yourself. You're setting yourself up to fail. You're putting that 20-pound weight on your shoulders that you should not be putting on because you should have put that to death. Now, I have to admit, I had a drinking problem when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. I was raised around alcoholism on both sides of my life. And if you've been going to this church any length of time, you know that the last 6 months of my life has been chaotic with my mother. And I've had to make decisions over the phone about my mother's life twice. And I do not want to do that. I mean, it'll do things to your heart, your mind, your spirit that it's just terrible. And so when I was at my mom's house the last time, one of the last things left in the refrigerator was this thing of alcohol. And I have to admit that there was a temptation there to drink some of that, to numb the senses of all the things that I was going through. But what happened was because I've been renewing my mind and putting that to death, I recognized the ploy of the enemy. I haven't been tempted by alcohol in 25 years. It's not a temptation today, but the thought came in my mind, there's nobody here. I'm not in Green Bay. Nobody would know. And all I would have to do is take one shot because I haven't drank in 25 years, and that's about all it's going to take. Pastor, I can't believe you admitted that on a Sunday morning. I'll admit it to you on tomorrow morning. These are the struggles. But because I renew my mind on a regular basis, because I hide God's word in my heart and I understand the ploys of the enemy, that thought was taken captive and I exposed the enemy for the liar he is. And the problem is we don't know how to expose the enemy because we're familiar with his voice and we're familiar with going with the flow. God has never called us to go with the flow. When he says die to yourself, that means you turn against the current and you're going the opposite way. But you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it through the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you guys give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Our problem is that we justify things. We say things like, well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as I'm not hurting anybody else. Or where does it say that in the Bible? And we justify the gray areas, right? We justify those things. But if it is tripping you up, cut it off. Cut it off. That's part of taking up your cross, dying to yourself and following him. Amen? And lastly, the last part of sanctification cannot be done by yourself. It just can't. You're not an island unto yourself. Nobody can do this thing by themselves. You need community. I can't tell you how important Sunday mornings are to the life of a believer. If you're not faithful to show up on Sundays, then you'll never see the value of community. You'll never see the value of feeding off of one another, encouraging one another, worshiping with one another. You never see the value of developing relationships in your life that is life-giving, that is healthy, that is right. Now, not everything in church is perfect. We're all dying to ourselves, and sometimes there's a stench in the air that offends each other, right? Because we are all of us at some point or another a hot mess. But church is it's a refuge. It's a place where you get fed the Word of God. It's a place where you worship intensely, like we did this morning through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a place where we learn to give of ourselves, that we volunteer for things, that we serve in different areas, that we learn how to use our finances, we learn how to use our experiences and leverage them for the glory of God. We learn to bear one another's burdens. Community is what happens beyond Sundays as well. It's not just about Sunday morning. This is a launching pad. If you have bad relationships in your life, life-sucking relationships that just sucks the life out of you, then cut it off. Well, you don't know the struggles. You don't know how hard it is. Trust me, yes, I do. It's so hard. It's a gradual weaning off. But if you do it, it will produce life in your everyday life. Amen? It develops small groups where you're getting together and you're studying the Bible together. Valerie is doing that with three other ladies right now. Now four. And Valerie can't get out and wash 15 cars, but what she can do is teach the Word of God. And so she does it faithfully. We learn these things in community. It's so important. Sunday mornings is more than listening to sermons. It's more than just singing. It's a different lifestyle that leads to life and encourages us to press on. It's iron sharpening iron. And as we participate in this thing called community and church, God begins to bring new relationships, and that brings life and draws us closer to the Father, which is called sanctification. Would you guys please stand with me this morning? I thank God that Jesus, when he went away, he told his disciples, look, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you powerless. When I go away, it's important that I go away so that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come along beside you. And that personhood of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into that, into this Unshakable series, the power of the Holy Spirit, the personhood of the Holy Spirit. How do we deploy the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? But Jesus gave us the person of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live an unshakable life. I encourage all of you this morning, don't step out of the process. Don't omit yourself from a life that is greater than you can ever imagine. What God wants to do in your life through you would blow your minds. But a lot of us don't believe it. We just think, well, God speaks to the special people. He's got all these good things for these people, but I'm just glad to be saved. That's not right thinking. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I don't know if you've ever known that before. But God has, he looks at you and he doesn't see limitations. He sees his creation the way it was meant to be. Believe it. Go through the process. Don't be afraid of it, because he's going to be with you every step of the way. Because what he requires of us to do, he empowers us to do. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Today, I don't know where everybody's at with the Lord. Maybe sanctification at this point is getting the cart before the horse. And you are in need of Christ himself. You are in need of his grace, his forgiveness. And this morning, if you will confess your sin, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and then cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so not only does he forgive you, but he cleanses you. You can know before you raise your head up that you are born again, that you are a child of God. This morning, if you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, I am in need of that forgiveness. I want to start this process, and it starts today. This decision starts the process. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can see it and put it down. If you say, Pastor, I'm struggling. I've tried to tame this lion. I've tried to domesticate it. I've tried to explain it away. But I'm always going back to that old address. I'm always reminded of my past. I'm always going back to the familiar, and I've opted out. I'm born again, but I've opted out of the rest. But today I'm making a decision that I want to be a part of the process, and that I'm ready to walk by faith today. I'm not going to turn back any longer. Today is the day. I'm moving forward. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray over you this morning. Amen. Amen. Father, today I come before you and I lift up every single hand that was raised this morning. And I ask God that as they pray and ask for forgiveness, as they pray and receive you as Lord and Savior, my Lord, would you just set your peace upon them now in Jesus' name? God, would you begin to, those that have stepped back into the process by faith this morning, have put to death this morning the works of their flesh. My Lord, would you give them strength? Would you give them courage? Would you give them the faith to step out in that land called faith? And Lord, begin to cause their lives through the process of sanctification to be unshakable, unmovable, and can expose and detect the lie of the enemy when it is thrust up in our faces again. We'll not entertain it. We'll cut it off and denounce it in Jesus' name. Father, empower them now by the power of your Holy Spirit to live that unshakable life, that this decision today starts the process. I pray this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you need prayer about anything else, we'll be up here for a time if you need prayer. If not, listen, thank you so much for being a part of our service at New Freedom. Thank you so much for giving us a look-see, right? And if this is your first time, please go back in the back, and we'd love to give you a gift. It's got everything we do as a church. If I was new, I would want to know what the church believes, what they're about. Go back there. We'd love to give you some info, all right? Otherwise, listen, enjoy each other's company, all right? God bless you guys. You are dismissed.